when I get going here. Ezekiel 37. But before I do, it's the month of Thanksgiving, right? First and foremost, I want to thank the Lord for saving me, right? Hey, you just sit back and think about how many blessings we got, right? Think about that. Think about that. I'm thankful for my wife. God gave me a praying wife, and I'm thankful for that. He gave me kids that I ain't got to fight to make come to church. You with me on there? Hey, we don't have to make our kids come to church. They get up on Wednesday, they know it's church night, right? That's encouraging to me. It's encouraging to me. I got kids that want to serve the Lord. It's not a shame to get up and sing or whatever the case may be and try to participate in the play. I'm thankful I got a pastor who stands on God's word. I'm thankful I got a mother-in-law that's humble. Humble. Right? They prays for me every day. I know that. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for these four girls right here. Let me tell you why I'm thankful for these four girls right here. Because I don't care what's going on. If it's a church event, these four girls right here are here. Three of them ain't got parents that's making them come. They come on their own time. You understand? That's huge to me. We went to a revival meeting. Angela and Billy invited us to go with them. And we asked some of the kids to go. Guess what? These four right here was on that bus with my family, with Angela and Billy's family, and with Alex, wherever Alex is. On a Friday night, I don't know about you, but on a Friday night when I was their age, I can assure you I wasn't in no revival meeting. Amen. I can assure you that. I was probably at the Bluff, if anybody knows where the Bluff is. Let's just be honest. We got a lot to be thankful about. A lot. I'm thankful for Marge, who encourages me. Stanley and Shelby, Dorsan and Ruth, all you guys is a big encouragement to me. And, you know, I still stand amazed each and every time that God opens up opportunity for me to speak. I don't understand why He does it. I just can't explain it. And I get nervous and I get scared and Satan tells me not to do it and tells me I can't do it. Hey, Brian, you've been divorced twice. You can't preach. Hey, I can't be a pastor, but I can preach. We all called to preach. Hey, look at the Apostle Paul. He killed Christians and God used him, did he not? I struggled with that for years, but let me tell you something. If God opens up doors for me to preach, I'm going to preach. It's that simple. We all got a pass, do we not? We all got a pass. So, God's been good, right? Mm-hmm. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams. As I go to sleep each night, though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Hey, I'm thankful for this man right here. You see this tie right here? It probably ain't the match specs, but he's the one that taught me how to tie a tie. Matt's a buddy of mine. We went to school since fourth grade. Been a dear friend of mine. I'm glad he's here tonight. I appreciate you coming, buddy. I didn't. Dorsan did. Dorsan might have paid him. But no, Matt, he did. He taught me. We was in high school playing basketball, and you had to wear a tie. I didn't even own a tie. But I'll go spend the night with Matt Ward. He'd give me a tie, and he'd show me how to tie a tie. Matt Ward, is this all right, brother? Is it good? We're going to be in Ezekiel 37. But I am thankful that God saved me. I'm thankful for you guys. I just want to be used. Whatever He wants me to do, that's what I want to do. I want to get good, clear direction from Him. And whatever He'd have me to do in this life, that's certainly what I'd like to do. Ezekiel 37. God laid this, these verses and this scripture on my heart probably about 2.5-3 weeks ago. And for those of you that's on my morning, each and every morning text during the week, the men, y'all probably are not surprised that I'm preaching out of this. And this message might not be for you here tonight. It might be just for me. I don't know. But God keeps laying this on my heart. And, You know, and it's about the valley of dry bones. You understand what I'm saying? It's about being dry and dead spiritually. You know, and I just can't get it out. I can't. Every morning I wake up and I go to my Bible. This is where I go to. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he's trying to tell me completely. And when I read this, there are so many things I can do with these 10 verses right here. And I got an outline, but I'm going to be honest with you, it's a mess. I just don't know what to do with it. And there's so many different ways that you can go. So I'm just going to be obedient to the Lord here and do with it what he wants me to do. So y'all pray for me. Preach along with me, if you know what I mean. Help me to preach tonight. And the valley of dry bones. Where's my glasses here? Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said unto he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, unworthy. Lord, I need you tonight. I want to feel your presence on me tonight, Lord. Speak in and through me. Lord, give me remembrance of what I've studied and, Lord, what you've laid on my heart. And, Lord, I don't want to say anything that's wrong tonight. I don't want to say anything that's out of context. I don't want to say anything that's not true. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me tonight through this message. Lord, speak to every heart, every family member that's represented here. Lord, it's not by accident on a cold, windy Sunday night that all of us are here, Lord. I ask that you just be with us, Lord. Speak to us. May we have attentive hearts. May we just open our hearts, Lord, and take in everything that you'd have for us. Lord, not only take it in, but apply it to our lives so that we can go out in this community we live in and make a difference, all for your glory. Lord, I want to thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to serve you. Lord, humble me. Get me out of the way, Lord, and you do something here tonight. We're going to give you thanks for it in Christ's name. Amen. Can these bones live again? Can these bones live again? Now, this scripture pictures something I believe many of us are facing today, many Christians face today, a hopeless situation, a hopeless situation. Now, if you study this out, during this time, both Israel and Judea, they were ruined politically. Assyria had scattered all of Israel, and Judah had been captured by Babylon. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted a return from captivity, but Ezekiel's vision goes even further down the years. He sees the time when the dead nation would come alive again. In this vision, he saw very many bones in this open valley. And not only did he see these bones, but they were dry, very dry bones. It was the picture of utter defeat here that is what he was witnessing, what he was seeing, with these bones of the armies drying and unburied, or dying and unburied and dry and unburied. But through the power of God's word, as we read here and we'll talk about, the bones came together and they formed men. And through the power of the Spirit represented in the wind here, life was given to them. Life was given to them again. These valley of dry bones. Now, this scripture very well may not have been in reference to the church. But let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart that there are some characteristics right here that we see in a lot of our churches today. And let me tell you, if we're honest about it, we see it right here at Valley View Baptist Church. Dry bones. Dry bones. I don't want to make anybody feel bad tonight, but I got to preach what the Lord laid on my heart, and that's what I'm going to do. And let me tell you something. I'm as dry as they come sometimes. More times than not. And we want to know why our church ain't growing. Let me tell you something. It ain't Pastor Boone's fault. Can you imagine how he feels every Sunday to come in here and preach as hard as he preaches and pray it up and see the same people? He's thankful for all you guys. I can assure you that, just like I am. But a man has been preaching for 20 years and his church is up and down like a roller coaster. Can you imagine how he feels about that? Do you think he thinks deep down inside that some of it could be him? I would say probably so. Well, let me ask you about it. What are you doing about it? What are you doing to grow Valley View Baptist Church? What's Brian Sink doing to grow about it? Let me tell you, you get on fire for the Lord. Brian Sink gets on fire for the Lord. And the pastor sees that. Guess what? It excites him. You with me? A lot of times we want him to be all jacked up and fired up and everything else, but yet we sit out there, and just like he said this morning, he looks at y'all. Let me tell you, I looked at you four times in my fourth time preaching. I know exactly what he's talking about sometimes. You with me? Hey, some of them little churches I preach at, man, they fall asleep in there. I feel horrible. I believe that the characteristics mentioned here of this valley full of dry bones is a good picture of most average churches today. Full of people, it's just bones. However, we got good news in Ezekiel here too. We can also see that the solution to this problem as well. God never gives us a problem without a solution. Remember, talk about a problem without a solution. You with me? So we're going to talk about the solution to those dry bones too. All right? Now let me ask you this. I was thinking about this. Where do children get their sense of values? Parents. Parents. Now, let me ask you this. When we give our child a dime for the offering plate, but give them $20 or $30 to go to a ball game, what are we talking, what are we teaching them? Huh? When you insist your child to do his homework, but complain if the church sends a Bible home, some Bible home reading memory verses, and you say you don't have time for that, what are you showing your kid? Me and Danielle heard that one night. We took kids home and their parents said they didn't let them come no more because they didn't have time to remember Bible verses. I couldn't believe it. But that's what I heard. What are we teaching our kids these days? When you stay home to work around the house instead of going to Sunday school or church, what sense of values are you showing your kid? Hey, I've been there and done it. Kendall ain't always been in church. The first 9 years of her life, I failed in that category right there. Thank God she's turning out. When you put sports and pleasure events ahead of your duties and responsibilities to the church, what are you showing your sense of values to your child? What are you saying? When you allow your child to stay up late and watch TV or stay out late for sports and pleasure and have no concern for them attending youth meetings, what are you telling them? When you insist that your child go to school but not Sunday school and church, what are you showing them? How about this? When you let your kid come to church and bring everything else but the Bible. It's truth. I've done it myself. I've done it. What are we teaching our kids? Now, I want to talk about 5 points here tonight. The very first one is I want to notice in Ezekiel is a pitiful condition. A pitiful condition. The very first thing, pitiful condition. A valley full of bones, verses 1 and 2. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, there's a couple points right here outside of being a pitiful condition. Can I tell you right now, in God's will, Ezekiel being in God's will right here, sometimes when you're in God's will, guess where you are? In a valley. Right? Now, we can still have mountaintop experiences, even though we're in a valley, as long as the Lord takes us there, right? So not only is it a pitiful condition, but also you can look at it this way. In God's will, sometimes we're going to be in a valley. Right? Ezekiel sees this most tragic scene. This was the most heartbreaking picture. Think about this, a valley full of bones. There once had been life and activity, but now there was nothing. There was nothing. We see this scene a lot of times in the modern churches, just like I spoke about earlier. Sometimes this church, we're in this condition. Would this situation stir Ezekiel's heart? You think it would stir his heart? Well, let me ask you this. Be honest here. Does mine and yours, does this situation and our hearts, do we feel bad about the condition of Valley View Baptist Church, where we function physically most of the time, but dead spiritually? Does it bother you? Does it bother you? Does it bother me? I am sure that Ezekiel wished and prayed that there had been something that he could do. For such a problem, man's powerless within himself, right? He's powerless within himself. He must wait upon the Lord and His power. Now, we too are powerless. We all know that. We're powerless. But if we allow God to work in and through us individually, we can see life in the valley and we can see life in this church individually. Number two, the Lord's question, the probing question in verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, a good question here. But also, remember, when we're in God's will, when we're in that valley, we need to listen for the Lord. We need to wait till we hear the Lord. You with me? God spoke to Ezekiel here. And he asked him a question. Can these bones live? As Ezekiel looked, he perhaps thought that it was hopeless. It would be foolish to waste one time trying to do anything here. Perhaps he started to leave and God said, where are you going? And Ezekiel responded, somewhere that I can do work for you. He didn't want to be in that valley of dry bones. God said, don't leave. You're going to do that work right here in this valley to these dry, dead bones. You think Pastor Boone feels that way sometime, or any pastor? Lord, why do you want me to go to Valley View Baptist and preach? They're dead, they're dry. I hope he's not saying that. Have you ever felt like leaving or giving up on a ministry that God has given to you? Have you ever thought about just throwing in the towel and say, Lord, I don't want to have nothing to do with the teens no more. Lord, I don't want to teach Sunday school no more. Lord, I don't want to do the kids on this side. I don't want to do the play practice anymore. I'm not saying that you do, Angela. I don't want to play the piano. I don't want to sing in the choir, whatever the gift is. If you ever just wanted to throw in the towel. It seems that you're facing impossible odds, but Lord said, no, stay right here where you are. We're going to do a work right here in Valley View Baptist Church. Can lifeless bones bring glory to God? Can lifeless bones bring glory to God? Think about that. Of course not. That's the reason something needs to be done. God's people should be full of life, enthusiastically involved in the work of the Lord. Our lives are to bring glory to God. Let me ask you, does your work bring glory to God? Does your work bring glory to God? Can the world around us be helped or blessed by a valley full of dry bones? Can the community of Buchanan be blessed by Valley View Baptist Church, who may be a valley of dead bones, dry bones? The only logical answer to that question is no. What can a dead lifeless person do? What can they do? Absolutely nothing. Before this could be reversed, something must be done to activate life. That's what we have to realize. Something has to be done. Dead bones in the church takes place when we see this. Not faithful to prayer. Not faithful to prayer. Not faithful to study. Not faithful to study. Not faithful in attendance. Not faithful to tithe and give offerings. Not faithful to visit. All of us, we have something to do there. These are all signs of spiritual deadness within the church body of Christ. And we see that. We understand it and we know it. When these things are lacking, can the world really be blessed by the church? No. I believe that there's a valley of dry bones in a Christian life as well. I believe that. And then it's a dry place and there's no joy there. And it's a dead place and there's no fruit there. And it's a dangerous place. And let me tell you something. No Christian should want to stay there. No Christian should want to stay there. So what can we do? We see this terrible condition. What can we do? Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Let's see what our God can do through us. Point three. The power of God's word. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verses 4 through 7. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Had Ezekiel walked by sight and not by faith, he would have staggered at the promise through unbelief. Had he been a worshiper of reason, he would have argued, these are bones, they have no ears to hear. How can I preach to them? Why should I preach to them? Why should he preach to them, hear the word of the Lord? He don't have ears. How are they going to hear? But no, he believed God rather than himself. He had been taught the exceeding greatness of his mighty power, and guess what? He obeyed. God's got us in a valley, got Ezekiel in a valley. Sometimes he gets us in a valley. We have to realize it's his will to get us in that valley. When we're there, we need to sit back and wait and let him to talk to us. And then when he talks to us, guess what we have to do? Just like Ezekiel did, and prophesy to those dry bones. Obedience in the valley. Obedience in the valley. Obedience in the valley. So what did he do? He prophesied as he was commanded. The scripture teaches us that the preaching of Jesus through foolishness to the world is to be the means of their awakening. And that prayer is to be the means of their new life. It teaches that when these means are used with them, God's people shall yet stand up and be an exceeding great army, shall be as they used to be when they marched through the wilderness, or when God went before them from the pillar of cloud. They shall be led back to their own land, and they planted on their own land, and not plucked up anymore. But another reason is this, and which is more important application of this vision, is to the unconverted souls that's in this valley, right? The unconverted souls that's in this church. We have unconverted souls in this church, there's no doubt about it. Ezekiel did not know what to do, but he was told to preach to a valley of dry bones. What would you have done? What would we have done? To a valley of dry bones, preach. I like to believe that perhaps he starts to leave and God asked him where he was going. Where are you going, Ezekiel? You stay right here, I'll give you what to preach. You stay right here, I'll give you what to preach. We must realize that the Word of God is never lacking in power to even to a valley of bones that ain't got ears to hear. Right? Nothing's too powerful. Ezekiel is a spokesman for God. He instructs the bones to hear the Word of the Lord. We must realize whoever stands up to teach us or to preach, we are to listen, thus saith the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. For the work to be accomplished, the congregation must be attentive and the spokesman must preach the truth, the word. In the average church, the reason for dried, bleached bones is, to be honest with you, and let's just admit it, the congregation occupies themselves with other things. They turn a deaf ear to God's message. They want to blame the preacher if the church doesn't grow. The success of the church is dependent upon the whole body, not just the preacher. What are you doing for the growth of Valley View Baptist Church and God's church in general? What are you doing? Ezekiel could only preach the word, just like Pastor Boone gets up here Sunday in, Sunday out, and preach the word. That's all he can do. The results that are followed was dependent on us, the congregation. The results is dependent on us. Too often people try to apply the message to someone else. How many times have you ever done that? Man, I'm glad so-and-so's here. They need this message. I'm glad so-and-so's here. Or how about this? Man, you should have been there this Sunday. That message would have been for you. What about for us? Hey, when I stop getting convicted at church, it's time for me to find somewhere else to go. I want the truth, even if it hurts my feelings. That's how I know I'm saved. Man, I don't want to give that up. Try to apply the message to someone else. We try to justify in our own lives what we do or don't do. Let me tell you, eventually there comes a time in people's lives when the Lord will no longer offer the healing power of His Word. Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That's what it says. Number four, the presence of the Lord. There was a noise and behold, a shaking. Guess what? And being in God's will takes us to that valley. When we get to that valley, we need to listen to the Lord, listen for the Lord. Then we need to be obedient to that Lord in that valley. And guess what? When God shows up, there's going to be a noise and there's going to be a shaking, is it not? That's what happens. Have you ever experienced that? I know I have, and it's an unbelievable feeling. God will show up. There was a noise and a shaking. When the Lord is allowed to move, there will be a noise and a shaking. Ezekiel witnessed a wonderful thing. The word of the Lord was preached and the Lord moved in the congregation as the bones heard the word of the Lord. When all of us listen and allow God to move, there will be a response. Tears, testimonies, amens, etc. There will be results of souls being saved, new church members, baptisms, and overall church growth. It will take place. The bones, I want you to look at this though. The bones began to move together to form a skeleton. Okay, these bones in that valley, they wasn't even a skeleton. It was just bones piled everywhere. But during this time, these bones started to come together and started to form a skeleton. How often, to me, this is a picture of, but at this point, there was no breath in them yet. You with me? It was they're like outwardly. You understand what I'm saying? The bones are coming together, and there's an outwardly thing that, hey, I'm in church. I'm sitting in church, so I must be, give me my scratch and sniff sticker for the day. I'm here, right? My bones are here, and we got this flesh on us. And that's what put this as picture. And they still hadn't hurt. They still haven't, the wind, the breath, the Holy Spirit hasn't gotten them to breathe yet. You with me? Same thing. We find here. How often is people outwardly reformed instead of drunkenness, sobriety? The form of godliness, but none the power. The bones and the sinews, which is ligaments, and the flesh and the skin of godliness, but none of the living breath of godliness. This is the way our congregations are today. Abundance of head knowledge, but where is the heart that loves the Savior? Where's the heart that loves the Savior? An abundance of picking and choosing and arguing. But where's the simple faith in the Lord Jesus? We make it too hard. Does not the Savior say when He looks down at our church, you think He looks down at Valley View and says, there's no breath in them. There's no breath in them. There's no breath in them. There's no breath in Brian Saint. The man who died on the cross for me. To think that he's thinking that of me. Perhaps Ezekiel could not believe his eyes. Can you imagine the joy as he witnessed the coming together of his bones? Could you imagine him, these bones coming together? Man, they couldn't. Can you just imagine that? These bones coming together. Can you imagine his joy as he witnessed this coming together? Now let me tell you something. In churches that are broken and shattered lives and shattered marriages can be brought together. Homes and churches brought together, and even nations, even Buchanan here, can be brought together. These are the things that can be accomplished and must be accomplished before the work of God can be done to its fullest. Being in God's will, you're in the valley. Listen when you're in the valley. He'll show up. There will be a noise. Lastly, the pleasant results. The pleasant results in verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Ezekiel continued to preach, and the bones received life and power. To be a spiritual success, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. They stood up and they were ready to move forward for God. That's what we need to do here at Valley View Baptist Church. Ezekiel saw here an amazing power of God of working on the lives of believers. And we must stand ready to do the will of God and change lives filled with the Spirit, an army able to ready to fight. God has mobilized a great army. God has mobilized a great army of believers to fight the good fight of faith for souls of men, women, boys, and girls all around this community. Do you believe that? So where do we stand in this picture? Where do you stand personally in this picture? Have you been empowered by the Spirit of God? Are you actively involved in the work of the Lord? Are you striving to tell the good news of salvation to every person you meet? Are you satisfied to let the preacher and a few do the work that we've all been called to do? If we find ourselves dead and dry in the service of the Lord, we can never be a benefit to the Lord until we allow Him to breathe upon us again. We need a fresh breath from heaven to fall on this church. And every person here, including myself, all for His glory. Let the breath of God fill our spirit lives tonight, so that we can go and do the work of the Lord. If we would ever just go back to Calvary Hill every single day of what Jesus did for us. And all He wants is our heart. Give Him His heart, our heart. The dry bones is a picture of the whole house of Israel here. And though these things seemed hopeless to Ezekiel, God had their salvation in view. God knew what He was doing when He sent Ezekiel there. He was looking for a faithful man. He's looking for a faithful person that would surrender his heart to His heart. And look, we stand back and say, man, that seems impossible. It is impossible to us. We'll be saying, well, God never seen anything like that. Well, guess what? Maybe you ain't surrendered your whole heart to the Lord. Maybe Brian Singh hasn't surrendered his whole heart to the Lord. The reason why we ain't seeing those great big things happen. The dry bones is also a picture of the lost. There are many of them, and they are dead in their sins. Perhaps you here tonight are one of them. If so, we need to know that Jesus can save you right here tonight. Perhaps you're concerned for loved ones who are lost and think they are hard cases and nearly impossible to ever be saved. Son of man, can these bones live? Absolutely, they can live. Absolutely. The dry bones is also a picture of a dried up Christian. I've been there. The picture, it just pictures me. How about you? Do they picture you? Picture you? We need help. Us believers need help to be revived in our faith, to experience the joy of salvation once again. To see the dryness and the deadness when we stand in the midst of it, recognize it for what it is, that we might seek His face. ask for His forgiveness and the power once again to revive us. Revive us, revive us, revive us, so that we can serve Him again. Aren't you glad He don't give up on us? I'm so glad He don't give up on us. Valley of dry bones. Do you really want to see revival break out in this little church right here? I do. I do. Brother Paul, you can come on up, lead us.